Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Happy Easter, boys.
Happy Easter, Tim.
Easter is all about eggs and egg-shaped things.
No, Easter is all about bringing you together with people you should never be with. I today had lunch with my wife and her gender-fluid cousin. That was fun.
Gender-fluid, what does that mean?
I have no idea.
Come on, Joe Marler's just got himself in a lot of trouble by being insensitive. let's not go there.
How was your Easter, Phil?
I was hanging out with my lovely fiancé's family.
Sounds lovely.
Half of whom are vegans. Either vegan or gluten-free. So it makes mealtime a bit tricky.
I can only imagine.
I spent it watching rugby all weekend. And on that note, let's put our hands in and pod on three. 1, 2, 3. Pod! It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, with JB.
Hello, Tim.
With Phil.
Hi, Tim.
And we love rugby, but don't take it or the game or ourselves too seriously. We are here with our weekly instalment of rugby chat, all about rugby. Nice, smooth fade there, JB. I like that on the music. I
can't hear a thing.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's good. Let's just crack on.
I'll finish it now.
I'll say is you can get in touch with us on... Well, you can leave a review on iTunes and download and subscribe on iTunes. One bit of feedback we've got from Brody15, who says, I love this pod. It's the balance of James Haskell-like bants and informative rugby analysis.
Like.
Really? What are you listening to? He said, that was the review. Oh, and also this one from The Wandering Coyote. Guaranteed to make me laugh, shout, nod my head and shake my fist in equal measure. I'm guaranteed he's talking about JB with that last bit.
I think he's talking about you. That's what I think.
Occasionally, a sliver of decent analysis slips through the banter net. See, that's more like it.
Yeah.
That's the sort of level of balance we're at. But leave your review on iTunes and I might mention you next time. We really appreciate it. And if you enjoy listening, just take a moment to do that. You can also listen on Acast and find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I've got a quick game of Who Am I to start, boys.
Fire away.
Ooh, excellent.
So a game of Who Am I. This is where I mention a rugby player and give clues from their Wikipedia page. JB and Phil have to try and guess it first. See if you can beat them to the answer. Who am I? I am a former rugby union player, played my time in the Premiership, one of the greatest players ever.
Okay.
I plied my trade on the wing.
Okay. But I think I know, but I'm
go on. Have a guess.
No, because I'm waiting for Phil.
I'm going to guess.
Jason Robinson.
Miles Benjamin.
It's Miles Benjamin!
No!
Yes!
No!
How did you not get that from me saying it's one of the greatest players ever to play the game?
Because he is the greatest.
Oh, JB.
Miles.
How do you feel, JB? That's the biggest bit of news in the rugby week.
It really is. It's tragic. It is absolutely tragic. The game will never be the same.
So, if you're a new listener to the podcast, I think it's important to point out the sort of history of Miles Benjamin and the podcast. How long ago was it when you tipped him to be like a starter for the World Cup, an England star?
3 years ago. And it was a reasonable argument at the time. He just came off a Worcester season where he was top try scorer in the Premiership. He moved over to Tigers, was injured. No one said anything about Miles Benjamin. He came back, he was a ferocious rocker. ferocious. They never hit those heights.
If England ever needed a rucking winger, Miles Benjamin was the man. It's a shame he's only 27.
It is a shame, actually, because he's a damn good player when he was fit, and he's very athletic, very fast.
Yeah,
And he's quite a big boy as well.
Yeah, he is. What, 6'3", 6'2", something like that?
Just over 6 foot, 16 stone 10 as well. Big boy for a winger, strong player. So it's a real shame he's had some injury problems over the years.
We're going to have no... Who are we going to talk about?
Well, your big thing a couple of years ago was Anthony Allen and Miles Benjamin starting for England.
Yeah.
Both taken too young.
Yes, exactly right, Phil. The only person we've got now is Ben Tail.
Future England outside centre. I'm telling you.
Hear him now, believe him later.
My only hope for you, JB, is that Talon picks up Miles Benjamin.
Why wouldn't they? It's such a no-brainer.
They can just gamble on him, give him a tiny little contract.
That healing South French air.
Exactly
yes,
right.
Yes, the air. It must be the air down there. And get him back fit.
Poor Miles.
Poor Miles, indeed. But there's an open invitation. Miles, you're always welcome on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. It was quite amazing, actually, and it probably says a lot about Miles and the podcast, the number of messages we had within minutes of the news coming out that he'd retired.
My Twitter this week has been going mad. Two things. One, I'm apparently a militant anti-Georgian. And second, I'm not an anti-Georgian. I love Georgia. And also Miles Benjamin. But between the two of them, they've caused just consistent traffic through my personal Twitter.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Let's mention that Georgia thing, because we asked for your feedback.
Did we get it?
Yeah, did we get it? And definitely. So we were talking last week after, you know, Italy's poor performance in the Six Nations, but more than that, not really so much about Italy, but more to do with how well Georgia have been playing. They showed up well in the World Cup. They had 55,000 people in Tbilisi to watch them win the ENC 1A league or whatever it's called. Basically the one below Six Nations, and we were debating whether we should try what World Rugby and what the Six Nations could do to try and develop rugby in Europe.
Well, the more I think about it, the more I think World Rugby have actually done a really good job of it.
So let's just recap where we were at. So I think Phil and I, I'm not sure, what was your general point? My point was there's got to be a way we can either have promotion relegation or make sure that a part of the rugby fixture list we play these teams more regularly and spread the money.
I think your first point is horrible. I hate promotion and relegation. I think your second point is bang on. We have to spread the game to more countries. I say promotion and relegation is horrible because there's not a real serious sport in the world that actually, you know, does promotion and relegation. I wouldn't call it serious, though.
Premier League football. Just about the biggest commercial sport in the world.
We'll the NFL is, with only 32 teams. You know?
And we'll get onto the rugby in a minute, but how dull would Worcester and London Irish have been without the spectre of relegation?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean,
well, no, it's not. No one would have cared.
A damp squid. A damp squib.
Although squids are also damp, they're very generally damp.
There is the other side to this, isn't there? Which is, yes, it is interesting to see two sides scrap it out. But would it be more interesting to see two sides saying, well, we've tried all these old players, they're not working, throw in the kids, let's see what we've got for next season? You know, playing for something else other than relegation.
Yeah, I do understand that. I think overwhelmingly the feedback we were getting on Twitter, and it's not a barometer of what everybody thinks.
No, and some really good feedback, actually.
Some really good feedback. But if we took Twitter as a poll of public opinion, then public opinion is very much in favour of actually having a relegation and promotion in the Six Nations, I'd say.
I don't think it is. Well, here's the thing about promotion, relegation, Six Nations. First of all, you take Georgia away, so that's seven nations. And then as Romania got better, you'd say, let's take Romania away. And then, so you're constantly diluting the product. That's the first thing. Second of all, how would Romania and Russia get better if they didn't have Georgia to play against? And thirdly, once you add all these teams in, and you end up with, I don't know, say a 10 nations, which is split into two pools of five, well, then eventually, it's basically what I'm saying anyway, which is make a very competitive Eastern Six Nations. Include Russia, include Romania, Georgia, get rid of Italy, they can play there. Real good teams there.
But I get that in terms of playing and stuff, but what do you do with the money? Because money's going to fund the coaching stuff. Do you dictate that the Six Nations have to be a bit big and brave and say, do you know what, we're going to take a hit on our profits and we're going to just share some of our cash.
I think there should be...
That's quite a socialist viewpoint from a very capitalist man.
Not really, because you know, you're trying to grow the sport as a whole. I think for a tier one nation, there are some rules, regulations and responsibilities. The rules and responsibilities are basically you have to trickle down some of your money to developing nations. That's an absolute must. Although, let's not be too careful to throw away money at developing nations. We've seen what happens in Tonga. We've seen what happens in Samoa when the home unions are given money. They tend to fritter away. So there's got to be proper governance.
Okay, fair enough.
The second thing is, if you're a tier one nation, you can lose your players to a tier two nation. I think that's completely fair. And I think also if you're a tier one nation... the governance would be that you have a certain amount to pay your squad. So I don't think England players should be getting paid any more than, say, a Georgian player if they're all tier one. And that pay structure would go up. So if you had, say, 10 tier one nations, they'd all get paid the same.
Cool. I get it. I think it was a feisty debate on Twitter, and you can always find us at Rugby Podcast, and thanks very much for that, because it definitely made us stop and
certainly made
and
me think
about things. Yeah.
At some point I thought, am I wrong here? So just a quick thank you to Paul Tate and Johnny Lewis, who kept me on my toes all week.
So at Rugby Podcast you can find us on Twitter. A good egg, bad egg of the week, boys. Who's our Easter eggs? I'm going to put forward a good egg as, well, a shootout between Faz and Sips.
Ooh.
Two of the standout performances of the weekend.
Yeah.
Shame they can't just play in the same England team, really. Oh, hang on, they can. They can, and they should.
They could do.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
To be honest, that is the first game in quite some time that I think Sippers has actually performed to his potential.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably since Christmas. Since
Sippers
the Wasps announcement.
Like a Quaid Cooper type player? Horrible for about five games, great for four games, horrible for six, great for three, that sort of thing.
Well, I think the benefit of him being at Sale for the past couple of years is he's got much more consistent.
Mm.
He's not been as maverick, and he's not been throwing kind of 30-yard miss passes and going himself as much, but he's been playing very well and controlling the game and kicking well, kicking corners well. So I thought he had become less like that, but maybe he's kind of returning to type.
I think, like you say, consistency is all important. Like if someone had said a week ago who's the next in line as England fly half, they'd be saying Freddie Burns because he had one great game.
He had a great game against Saracens.
You don't want to say Sippers is now the next in line because he had one great game.
I think Sippers was the next in line until he had maybe five bad games.
Yeah, I don't know him personally. I don't know how he thinks. But it does strike me that when he hits a setback, he kind of comes off the rails. It's almost like he's not very mentally strong. So he was playing very well up to the World Cup, didn't get in the World Cup squad, and he sort of came off the rails. And every time he hits like a bump in the road, doesn't get in the Eddie Jones squad, he tends to, you know, kick for sticks and end up killing a cheerleader. You know, just those sort of things.
He got Dave Allred to come in from his doing whatever, working with NFL
what
kickers.
Does
and
Dave Allred actually do?
He just goes around the world as a, like... it's not just kicking, he does all sorts of different close skill motor skills, and he's like a
sports consultant and he's coordination consultant,
exactly. So he seems to have sorted out
how do you pick up
Dennis
work like that?
Kickers.
I could do that.
Well, basically,
have you got the requisite hand-eye coordination?
No, but do you reckon Dave Aldred does so?
Probably
not. Do you think Dave Aldred can kick as well as Johnny Wilkinson?
And Owen Farrell as well. Absolutely sensational performance for Saracens.
He was brilliant. He was a clear man of the match in a team that played really, really well.
I think we need to reassess our view of Saracens, which is the hive mind. Because a year ago, Billy's always been a good player. Owen Farrell has been a good player, but not, like, say, the world's best. Say, if we're looking two years ago. But now all these young players are starting to turn into actual world-class, world-quality players.
Whoa, steady. They are on the path towards becoming world-class players.
I think Billy is a world-class player.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
No.
I think, well...
His performances in the Six Nations
were
world-class. He'd not got the... It depends on your definition of world-class,
yeah, come on.
But
like, we'll see. Do you go away to Australia and dominate?
Well,
down under
too much on the bandwagon, right? But I do think Cruis and Itoje now.
Itoje, Itoje. It's Mauro Itoje.
Itoje.
Yeah. it is. That's how he pronounces his own name.
So. Itoje. Okay, him. I don't think. Well, they got 5% off being the best lock pairing in the world. They're not.
They're
bad
not
at
far
all.
Off. They're not far off.
But come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Steady.
All the way up to the Six Nations, as always saying. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. Not jumping. Yeah. And then I watched him play, and it's hard to dance it, really.
But I know, but I feel uncomfortable with suddenly going, after two games playing together, oh, they're just as fraction off the best second row pairing in the world.
Well, say if they played like they did in the Six Nations for the next two or three years. You'd probably say they are the best.
In 2 or 3 years, then.
Yeah.
Say they're world-class in 2 or 3 years.
Well, they're on the way. They're on the way.
Yeah.
But we just simply don't have enough footage to confirm.
I'll tell you what, the most impressive thing about Itoje... Sorry, is it...
Yeah, you did it right.
Itoje.
Well done.
it's just like... It's how basic what he does is, yet how remarkable it is. And I'll give you an example. Gareth Davis gets his hands on the ball, is about to launch a pass. Now, it's obvious. The scrum off gets the ball, get off the line, knock the ball out of his hands. But only he can do that. Only he can move at that pace... With that kind of foresight to do it, it's quite incredible.
Yeah, his line-out work is...
The line-out, the backball steal against Wales was... I mean, that to me is... That's world-class. There's not a harder skill in world rugby.
But there's been a couple of times it has been pointed out where, actually, if you watch the Saracens line-out, and it happened for England as well, yes, Itoje does brilliantly well to get up and disrupt, but there's some really intelligent work going on by the lifters. Actually, Billy Vunipola, changes who he's going to lift at the last second, and so they're just. I think the point you're making, I think, is that these young players now, rather than maybe these Saracens guys, are being coached and are developing as such that they are making decisions on the fly and not so much a hive mind as they were.
Well, rugby is all about good decisions.
Well, yes. Let's talk London Irish when you talk good decisions.
Oh
my word! Actually, before we go on to London Irish, because we just touched on Saracens and it was just a dominant. Totally dominant performance. But do you know, over the weekend, one of the most encouraging things I noticed in regards to Saracens and England, or two things. Did you see the England boys on Jonathan Ross?
Is this the interview they did after our interview?
What do you mean?
Well, we interviewed them first, before Jonathan Ross. Hartley was on there, right?
Hartley was on there?
Yeah, and we did it, and we got an interview with him on Thursday.
I think they recorded it in the week.
Whatever.
You know, when they were probably still hungover from Paris, but... but Billy Vunipola, where's his... Like, he was lip-syncing Backstreet Boys in the dressing room to the camera. He was on there with Jonathan Ross, cracking jokes, and I just... It seems a totally different Billy Vunipola to the one we saw in the World Cup and previously.
He's previously seemed a bit introverted and a bit shy, almost. But he's certainly come out of his shell.
Well, I've interviewed Mako, and he is actually quite within himself. Unless he just finds me dull.
Well, you did go in, and your opening gambit was.
Are you going to be picked?
You're Welsh.
Thanks, Judas.
might have put him on the defensive. But also the other thing, and the other Vunipola brother. This filled me with a lot of heart this weekend. The culture, for want of a better phrase, of Saracens in England. Mako Vunipola saying he puts England's Grand Slam down to booze and banter.
It's pretty key, isn't it? It's pretty key. This is kind of what I was saying. Do you disagree?
Wait, with what? I disagree with...
Booze and banter.
Well, how much impact? I think it has like a 2% boost, so that...
No way.
That does give a difference.
Not a... Not 2%. It's far more.
It's like your culture thing. If your team's rubbish, booze and banter's going to keep them rubbish. But if your team's very good, then that little bit of kind of camaraderie and doing stuff for your mates does make a difference.
I think it makes
all
difference.
But it's a small difference.
No, it's not a small difference. It's a huge difference.
You can't turn Broughton Park into the All Blacks because the lads go out for a few beers.
No, but you can make the lads in Broughton Park the best they can be if they all got on socially and work for their mates. And I'll give you the best example of this is, why on earth do armies spend so much money on getting the soldiers drunk in socials? Because it's very important. Why else would you take rum onto a massive warship? Because it's very important that you get the camaraderie right.
And I'll give you an example from rugby, a story that I heard recently. about, well, look at how well Sale Sharks are doing again, defying odds and staying unbeaten at home. A little fact for you, the only team in Europe's top leagues still unbeaten at home all season.
Wow.
And Steve Diamond in pre-season, so they did their first week of pre-season, and on the Friday, I think it was, the last training session of the week, they got absolutely flogged. And Steve, as they were doing this running drill, so the story goes, Steve Diamond was in his little pickup truck and was doing donuts on the pitch whilst they were doing it, and was driving up and down, shouting at the boys while they were doing their final little drill.
For what reason? Just to prove he's Steve Diamond?
They thought they had another 20 minutes left, another cycle of this thing, and they were all, you know, blowing out their ass. And Steve Diamond drove the car over after being doing loads of donuts and stuff. Drove the car over, and in the back of it, it was full of ice, and there were loads of beers. And he said, great week's work, boys. We're going to stay out here and finish these.
Tuck in.
Love it. Tuck in. Absolutely love it. And that's why I love Steve Diamond.
Yeah, and from that, I'm not saying that I think it's a bad thing to have a few beers and socialise. I think it is very important, but it is kind of the top 2%. But in England's case, it is the difference. The majority of the team has been there for the last 4 years, and they finished perennially second, and this year they've won it.
I think it is the difference as well between an individual sport where you've just got to be so incredibly focused, like to the point of being psychotic, that I understand you don't drink and this is your whole thing in life, to a team sport where actually the whole is actually greater than the individual.
Yeah.
And I actually think I don't know, it's hard to put a percentage on it, but I kind of do feel it's more than the top 2%. I feel that bond you have within a rugby team carries you so, like, it makes such a difference on the field. It's like, I don't know, because I mean, it's hard to put numbers on it, but when you're not in a cohesive team that's really got great morale, and when you do, and you just win so much more regardless of the quality. You can have exactly the same quality of players and you win more.
Exactly right.
I like the phrase, you don't want to let your mates down.
Exactly.
And on the rugby pitch, if you're absolutely knackered and you're on the deck, but you've got to get back, you get to your feet and you get in line, because you don't want you to be kind of the weak link, the person who lets the side down. So it does make that kind of difference.
So we're all agreed, more than 2%. But less than 5%.
Well, the problem is, all the teams do it, so... like, what is the impact?
Well, if you don't do it, I suppose it's the bigger impact.
It is a bigger impact,
There was a situation, you know, back to drinking, with Alistair Campbell, of all people.
On the Lions in 2005.
Lad.
I don't know this story, but that's the time I know that Alistair Clive Campbell Woodward's was involved.
Lions. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously you need a press secretary when you go to New Zealand to lose handily. I mean, it's clear. And he would do things like write the reports of where the players go and media train the players. And two of the players, I can't remember who they were.
In a bar, tossing dwarfs.
No, they decided to go for a drink. And Alistair Campbell pulled them aside, allegedly, and said, you can't say you're going for a drink, you're just going for a stroll. And I think that's when it sort of became almost frowned upon that we do these team activities now, including drink. And they do. Although you could argue some teams have taken it too far, a.k.a. Bath in the... Crockett, Maddox, is it Crockett?
Well, Harrison. Let's just leave that there, shall we?
In a circle, boys.
let's leave that one there. But the England boys seem to have a really good night out in Paris, by all accounts.
And well deserved.
And well deserved. But I touched on London Irish, and you can say they're an example of a team who have clearly have a lot of, they have that willingness to work that hard for their teammates, and they work their socks off. They have been for a while, and they definitely did against Worcester, but where they were let down was decisions.
And Worcester are a good team as well, let's not forget that.
That was Irish's Irish lost that game, Worcester didn't win it.
They had two breakthroughs. Maitland was the first and Johnny Williams was the second in the first half, and basically 2-on-1s, and the final pass was a good pass and was dropped.
I think Blair Cowan dropped one when all he had to do, but I think he would have been caught.
He probably would have been caught, but he would have been caught within 10 yards of the line.
But Kieran Hearn, that wasn't an opportunity, that was a try that he messed up. That was the same as Veronique Gonover for Leicester dropping the ball over the line.
Ooh, yeah.
He was in.
Sorry to interrupt the match chat. Halani Alika, do you know he's moving clubs?
to
sail sharks. Apparently he's had his medical and everything.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's because sale just
has that been announced?
Sale just announced
nope.
two.
No, it's
two
not been announced.
Yeah. So no, sorry, they've just announced two sign-ins. They announced.
And this came straight from Neil Fissler. No, it didn't really.
It will now. It will be now. Saying that he broke the exclusive.
Fissler time. Yeah, so apparently that's who they've got in to replace Kobolas.
Well, they announced two signings last week, didn't they?
Including a tight head.
They announced a tight head who I can't remember off the
it
top.
It was. Because it was Kruger, the second Kruger, row.
Yeah, from Racing Metro.
I'll remember the tight head.
Oh, he's Kieran. Good.
Kieran, oh, yes.
Kieran Longbottom.
Kieran Longbottom from Saracens. Oh, he's sorry. A loose head.
He's not. He was playing when he came over as a loose head.
He came over as a
loose head. Sorry, Kruger. Are we talking about which Kruger
Juan
are we talking
de,
about?
Juan de,
in the second row.
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's good. I think he was at Diamond. Took him to Northampton.
He did take him to. Well, there's some link, wasn't there? Diamond was funneling players in, which he found elsewhere.
Funneling sounds like there's something underhand going on, JB. I'm sure there wasn't.
Through his links, he's got quite a. Big network, Steve Diamond.
Or funneling sounds like something rugby players do when they're on the
tour.
Beers.
On tour. Oh, yeah, he's a very good player. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Longbottom. So Longbottom came from, I think it was Western Force he came over from. And he was starting tight head for Saracens. And then he did his Achilles tendon. And hasn't really played since then. That was last season. Almost a year ago, I think.
It's kind of quite a nasty pack, this, isn't it? When you think of, like, yeah. If they do get a Helani Leaker in. In, they've got basically a brand new front three, and they're pretty good in scrums anyway.
And Cameron Neal is playing blindside. He's a quality player, and he'll probably be their starting hooker next year.
Yeah, Webber, he scored at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah,
Webber has limitations, but one of his limitations isn't the weight he brings to scrum time. So if you think about that new front row, it's going to be quite a proposition.
Back to London Irish. One observation I made because they threw that game away, and not just the. Kieran Hearn butchering a certain try, which, I mean, that's just got to hurt so much. All you had to do was catch a ball. The pass was perfect. The break was brilliant. Just catch the ball and put it down. As much as that, there was a lot of talk, and there has been a lot of talk about them opting not to take kicks at goal. And rather than debate whether they should have taken kicks at goal, I personally think they did. They thought they had an upper hand in line-out drives, which clearly wasn't on. They got no change out of it all day. But what I noticed when I was on the touchline, because I was working for BT Sport at this game, I noticed Gordon Ross of Worcester, who was obviously on the radio with Dean Ryan, every time Worcester got a penalty in Irish's half, the players were looking round at Gordon Ross and he was telling them whether to kick for post or go for touchline. And I don't know, call me old school, but I feel a little bit uncomfortable with the players on the field not being in control of making those decisions on the field. The captain, basically.
Yeah. In my mind, it should be the captain making that decision. The coach can kind of determine the overall strategy, but every decision should be made by the captain.
I don't really have a problem with this. I mean, it depends on the circumstances. Generally speaking, if it's just like a knockout game, a cup game, for instance, and it's, you know, who's going to score the most, well, in that case, you know, the arithmetic can be left to the players, not a big deal. In the case of a relegation decider, and where things like bonus points come into play and points for, points against, I actually think, you know, having someone on the side jotting stuff down is great. How on earth? Who would you tell?
Well, I'm not saying coaches don't have an input. So there's a breaking play and you go, oh, when you go on, send the message on, we're getting no change out of this line out, let's go for post.
You simply don't know. I mean, in this case, the permutations aren't too serious. But you could have a match going on elsewhere where they need to funnel the information back, and it needs to come from the coach. Do we kick? Do we do whatever it is?
I forget who was it was against, but there was a Bath game that happened recently, and they got a penalty. Was it? I can't remember the game. It will come back to me. Might have been Quinns a while back. Anyway, whatever. They were, I think, 8 or 9 points down with 20 seconds left, and they got a penalty, and the players were all looking round at each other and looking up to the stand going, what do we do? Do we kick for posts or do we go for a try? And or would they have been 6 points behind? So it was, or anyway, they were just outside the set. Anyway, I can't remember. But basically, they spent so long looking up at the crowd going, what do we do? And the coaches trying to get the message down that they ended up running out of time and they could only tap and go. Yeah. Or could only kick for posts.
Yeah. But Jay, the scenario that you're describing, that's maybe one game a season.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can understand in that scenario, but otherwise, it should be the players on the pitch. Because you know how many points you need for a bonus point, you know how many points the opposition need for a bonus point, and you know whether you're going to win the game or not. I mean, and that's it.
Usually, it's a case of, do we have four tries? Do we want four tries?
Yeah.
And that's it. I get that completely. But on the other hand, you know, you're putting more responsibility onto a player who's already got enough stuff to do.
Oh, I mean, the Glasgow Ulster game is a good example. Very annoying for me as an Ulster fan because
weren't as pride as you normally are.
We were 6 points away, and the 81st minute gave away a penalty almost 60 yards out, and Stuart Hogg said, "I'll have a crack at goal," and slotted it to put Glasgow 9 points ahead.
Future Lions fullback Stuart Hogg.
Potential future Lions fullback. Yeah. Stuart
RBS Hogg. Player of the tournament, Six Nations player of the tournament.
He had a dreadful game for 60 minutes, and then after 60 minutes scored a brilliant try, and then played well, including a quite unbelievable kick to deny Ulster a losing bonus point.
Okay, so if you've got players responsible for different things, depending on, you know, what their role is. So fullback needs to think about, you know, dropping back. He's got a lot of responsibility. Wings are covering. Flyhoff's got a lot on. So you basically want your captain. He's got other things like inspiring. What about getting someone on just because they're good at numbers for kicks? And
isn't that what Stuart Hooper's been doing for the last few years?
You might actually be right there. Just processing data.
Yeah.
What I noticed in the London Irish Worcester game is every break in play, and you'd have Chris Pennell, Donacha O'Callaghan, Phil Dowson.
What on earth is Donacha O'Callaghan going to bring this arithmetic party?
Just a bit of banter. He'll have a joke. But there was those four guys and maybe one other that all got together in every break of play, and they were all chatting, and you could just tell they were sort of going, right, what's working, what's not working, our defences, we need to tighten this up, we need to tighten that up. And then they'd go and spread the message. London Irish, on the other hand, I just saw them every break in play. They were all just sort of standing around on their own, having a sip of water. And there didn't seem to be that sort of leadership and decision-making. And we were just talking about Saracens maybe not being the hive mind, making decisions. That's what I saw in Worcester that I didn't see in London Irish as well.
Mm. And it's interesting you talk about, like, basically number crunching. And you want your captain to have an analytical, like, logical brain. And a good example is when we were the England-Wales game in the World Cup.
Yeah.
When we actually looked at the permutations of, right, you kick to the corner, what's the chance you win the line-out? What's the chance that you can drive the line-out over? What's the success rate of getting a try and winning the game from that?
Do we take an 80%, would it have been a bonus point, or a 20% chance at a...
See, it was a draw.
A draw.
Which was, it was a kick from the touchline, which was maybe 50-50, or maybe 60-40, because Farrell's a great kicker.
Yeah.
Or it was like a 10% chance of getting the win. So Rob Shaw, as captain, should have looked at those odds.
And how would he know those odds? But
no,
really...
he should have just known them.
You should intuitively think, right, what's the chance? Right, it's there's 2 minutes left. If I kick for sticks, that's going to be roughly 60.
You've got a degree
60,
in maths,
40.
Phil.
If you're just joining us, this podcast isn't one from the World Cup. This is one from the end of March.
But
the
captain should know that. The captain should know. It's two things...
I mean, I would not know the percentage chance of any given spot of Owen Farrell kicking it. Maybe his overall percentage, I'd get.
No, you have a feeling for what the...
A feeling?
Yeah.
I don't think you're a quantity surveyor.
You think in numbers.
I think the captain should know the actual percentage of his kicker getting a kick from anywhere on the pitch.
No chance. That's almost impossible.
No. It's not impossible. You just get your kicker to practice 100 kicks from everywhere in the pitch.
I mean,
training,
maybe the kicker's saying,
and
I
got
can,
the stats.
I can or I can't. But by some of these kickers are so... the pride is such that they'll say, oh, I can get that. I can get that.
You actually watch them in training.
But why not just have a guy in the stand saying, yeah, kick that, because he's got his little laptop on.
I think it's a bit more of a feeling, this one, personally. But you're a much more analytical...
I'm amazed that you don't want the... How about this? How about captains where the NFL do the read cards on their on their arms with a picture of the pitch and numbers telling what the percent chances. Well, it's not illegal, is it?
Captain should be able to remember it.
Why doesn't he just draw it on his? Because
no, just remember it.
Well, how many zones?
I think it's more of a feel of how things are going and what the status of the game is and what your relative merits are. I think it's more of a feeling thing. So, for example, London Irish were getting no change out of their line-out drive. They should have had Narraway should have recognised and realised and understood that's not working. Let's change what we're doing. Mm. But they just kept trying the same thing. And it got no change out of it.
It's really interesting, the psychology behind it, because in the NFL, the defence will take it as a slight if you don't kick the ball away. Even if statistically you've got a really good chance of converting your fourth down, but oh well, the defence now think that they're...
They think we're a soft touch.
Exactly. Or the coach doesn't have faith in them. I think in some ways, you look start thinking about that, like, do we kick to the corner for a win, or does the coach and the captain not have faith of us driving over with our drills to get over?
Yeah,
it's very, very tricky. So take it out of the captain's hand and just have some maths nerd like Phil on his laptop tapping away.
Do that.
Kicking money ball. Hey, do you know what? I can give you a stat.
Far away.
That is fact, an analytical fact. Cornerstone were voted the best plays at the GQ Awards. Beating Wilkinson Sword and beating Gillette. That is a fact.
It is.
Precision German engineering.
Delivered direct to your door. So no messing around in the shop trying to find the right razor heads to go on handles and all the rest of it. Direct to your door. Wonderful. And I'm amazed. I'm still amazed by how many people sign up and continue to sign up.
I'm not amazed because it's a no-brainer, because with our special £10 offer, you get to try it for pretty much no money. If you don't like it, you can cancel. You can get your free engraved shaft, or not handle, have to call it a shaft.
Yeah.
Your free engraved aluminium shaft for an order of just £4, but you get £10 off with us by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Give it a go. We think you'll like it. And if you don't, well, you haven't lost anything and you can just cancel.
Or egg 10 at checkout.
Yeah.
Also makes a great gift. And I've thought as well, I might just subscribe twice, because once the apocalypse comes, I'll be happy that I have actually stockpiled razors. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Right, and back to the rugby. I think we should... Can you play your Pro 12 soundbite, JB?
Can I?
Because I think it's definitely about time we delve into the Pro 12. This is a stick.
Yes, a lot of stick.
A stick for your views on Georgia and the Tier 2 nations. Stick for your dismissal of the Pro 12 as a
The Pro 12 is not a competition. It's not a league, it's not a competition. There's only one club in all of the Pro 12 and that's Connacht. Everyone else can be written off.
Well, you're about to play the Pro 12 soundbite, but before you do, there's one bit in it that you the league that brought you Zebra 12 someone nil or whatever.
Yeah, that is correct.
But Stu Page watched Worcester v London Irish and said, hey, new jingle for the Aviva Premiership for your podcast, the league that brought you Worcester 12, Irish 6.
What a good game.
I don't know about that.
The skills on show maybe weren't the highest.
It wasn't very good. But anyway, off you go, Jay.
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra 0. Starring Rory Pittman, Scott Andrews, and Luke Burgess, the other one. And definitely not featuring Aroni, Celtic Warriors, or Border Reavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
Love that. But maybe some of these guys that are sticking up for the Pro 12 have got a point, because Connor... Oh, my word. We've got to talk about Connacht again. Unfolding in front of us is a story that is potentially going to rival Leicester City. It's that kind of a story. Mm,
it's not quite as good as Leicester City.
Well, no, because there's only 12 teams and not 20.
Like,
yeah, okay.
That'd be like Connacht winning the top 14 and then the World Cup.
I think it's amazing. We got some tweets on this one. So Dara Ruddy says, tweeted to @RugbyPodcast, said, this Connacht team have guts by the truckload. Leinster emptied half the Ireland team off the bench. I am so proud. And then James Delaney said, boys at Rugby Podcast, big shout out for four for the Connacht lads, the only true team in Pro 12.
Hear, hear.
Winking smiley. I'm about to do an Egg Chasers New York on it. Pints. Hashtag top of the league. Basically, he's just going to make himself sound like we sounded during our podcast during New York.
Good luck. It'll take more than one day to sound that bad.
But it's a brilliant story, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Did you see the Bundiaki 8 move?
No.
They moved Bundiaki to 8.
Did
they? He came off the back of the scrum and threw a massive pass, of which it went nowhere. But still, nice to see that they're trying it.
Trying something different.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, and I think that it's just a shame. I think this team's going to be dismantled at the end of the year. But while it lasts, let's enjoy it.
Well, there's a couple of people going, isn't there?
Has all you already gone, or is he going?
He's going.
Talk of the fly half going to Sail Sharks.
There is. Yes, apparently. Whether that will happen or not, I don't know. I don't really understand the deal there. Because
Sale have got loads of money. Premiership sides have got loads of money.
Yeah,
now.
But see, I always thought McGinty was actually American, but he's not. He's about as Irish as they come. But he just studied in America. So I don't know whether it's just because he doesn't qualify for Ireland, he can't get a contract, or something like that. So he may well end up over in the UK somewhere.
Well, let's hope he does better than Sale Sharks' last Irish signing.
Who was Sale
Tony
Shark?
Buckley.
Tony Buckley.
Oh, no. Well, Peter Stringer.
Oh, no, actually, yeah, Strings. Take it back.
Yeah.
What Bath would do for Peter Stringer now?
Oh, you're absolutely right. The missing piece. Apparently he doesn't eat carbs from, like, so like Monday all the way through to Friday, not a single carb.
Well, I tweeted a picture. You can find it at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. So I worked the Sale, and we will get back to Pro 12 fans. Don't worry, that wasn't it. I worked at the Sale Leicester game for BT Sport, and we had breakfast because it was an early kickoff. So the catering truck had breakfast, and Ugo Monyo.
Oh, the other half live.
Ugo Monyo was behind me getting his breakfast, and he came back and sat down opposite me, and I tweeted a picture. He's on something called the, and I wonder if you've heard of it, Phil, the Doucan diet?
Doucan? No.
I think I've heard of it.
Week one, he said, has an attack phase, and that was his breakfast. I'm showing you a picture of it now. It was poached eggs.
Scrambled eggs.
Oh, delicious.
A whole half-litre pot of natural yoghurt and a packet of ham. All he eats and all he has eaten for the last week is protein. That's it. Nothing but protein.
I'm not sure I approve of that diet. There's 500. It's 500 grams of yogurt will be about 85 grams of protein. So that whole plate there. So the eggs, he's probably got 5 or 6 eggs. Each one of those, so that's maybe another 35 grams of protein. So you're on like 120 grams of protein from that meal.
I mean,
so you only
although
need.
He's got a pack of ham there as well.
Oh, and a pack of ham.
Yeah.
So that's another. So he's on. That's like. So they say you need 2 grams of protein for every kilogram of lean body weight. Now, Ugo, he's 90 kg ish. So that's 180 grams of protein that he needs per day.
Look at the number crunching on the fly. This is incredible.
You could just see my face now. This is
that,
me.
That meal.
The pained expression on my face. This is the man before who says, I just don't understand why a captain can't know the statistics of his kicker from every part of the field. Well, this is why, Phil.
No,
I don't know. I mean, he should just show that meal to his captain. He should crunch the numbers immediately and away he eats.
Exactly.
Anyway, what was your point, Phil?
Well, that is... So he only needs 180 grams of protein per day. That meal in itself will be circa 180 grams of protein. Anything else will just be, you'll just get rid of it. You'll just basically crap it out. So there's no point in having any more than that. So unless he's not going to have any protein for the rest of the day.
He's working out as well. He's going to the gym, right?
Yeah, but even going to the gym, you only need, like, anything more than that is wasted.
Is that right?
Yeah.
An expensive
Yeah, way. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're making going to the toilet a lot more expensive.
There you go.
It'd be interesting.
And who'd want to be in a commentary box with someone who's been eating that all week?
Indeed. Yeah. But that said, Ugo Monyo is in unbelievable shape.
Yeah, why is he going on diets?
Yeah.
is he just like let himself go? Because he looked pretty good in New York.
He looks even leaner and even fitter than he did
BT
a couple
Sport's
of weeks ago.
BT Sport's going to put together a sevens team at some point.
What?
Are BT Sport going to put a sevens team together at some point?
Oh, who would be in that sevens? You'd have Austin Healy, Ugo Monyo.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Not flat.
Ben Kay has actually played sevens round here, like Cheshire Business.
Lawrence could reach around sevens and do
some good offloads.
Yeah. You, obviously, Tim.
Or unloads, as they call it in Super Rugby.
Yeah. I mean, you could make your second debut at the top level.
Well, apparently, Sky Sports and BT Sport have a match against each other once a year. Even be at Twickenham, but I don't know.
I can't imagine BT Sport losing that, actually.
No. Sky Sports pumped them, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but is it about the players or about the staff? Because they might have a good staff.
I was going to say, I don't know how many of the actual proper ex-pros get involved, but anyway, I'll keep you posted.
If me and Jay could get an invite, perhaps, that would be... That'd be rather good.
Back to the Pro 12 and Connacht. Yeah, they find themselves sitting pretty with 13 wins from 18, 4 points ahead of Leinster, who they beat in that top of the table.
How about Leinster, you cheats?
Cheats how?
Well, they're not really cheats.
Stealing Robbie Henshaw.
Yeah, stealing Robbie Henshaw, of course. The problem I've got is back in the day, the Welsh clubs used to play Irish provinces, particularly in Europe, and we used to get pumped. I used to hate the fact that provinces are basically just cheating by pulling all... But now we've got basically regions, so it's the same,
thing.
Scarlets in third are ruining the table because, other than them, it's perfectly split. If you took Scarlets out of the table, it would go four Irish teams, two Scottish teams... four Irish teams, two Scottish teams... And then the Welsh teams, then the Italian teams.
Yeah. Mm.
Scarlets are getting ideas above their station. They're splitting up the four Irish teams there in third.
And do you know what annoys me about the Pro 12, mostly? I mean, not mostly at all. But like, the name value doesn't seem to rub off. So, for instance, the Ospreys have got all these stars, and they're pretty rubbish, actually.
Oh, they're in ninth at the
moment. Is that just that they don't take it seriously? Do they have the same view of the Pro 12 as me? Dan Bigger can't be bothered showing up to work. it's just a bit Mickey Mouse, really. Except for Connacht, who are, like I say, the only genuine club in the entire competition,
and Ulster. Mm.
No, just Connacht.
Well, keep venting at Rugby Podcast. I really enjoyed the rugby, and to bring a bit of balance, which some people have pointed out, there were some dreadful skills on show in the Aviva Premiership. There were some really like Veroniki Gonova for Leicester. They're going to rue that, dropping the ball. Just put the ball down and you score.
Yeah, who's moving to Newcastle?
Newcastle, yeah.
Next season,
is he still? Doesn't sound like he's playing at a high level.
No, he's a good player. He finished a try later on in the game. Well,
it sounds like that's not really what Newcastle need. But yeah, either way, it's good signing.
Where's Sinotti? Sinotti's fallen off the radar, hasn't he?
He's not quite fit yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think he was on the bench. Yeah. This week, but which is the first time I've seen him on a team sheet for a long time. But Gonova's 31, 32. In a week's time, actually. Now, when he goes to Newcastle, it just depends. If they can kind of maintain his performance for 2-3 seasons, it'll be a really good signing. He could potentially fall off a cliff.
Proverbial cliff, of course.
Not a literal cliff. He's not literally going to fall off a cliff.
No,
although there are some in the northeast that he needs to watch out for.
Yeah.
But he could do like Alessandro Tuilagi, and it's not... doesn't actually turn out to be a very good signing at all.
Speaking of, you just mentioned the word literally, Ed Alexander, because we're always on the lookout for when commentators say literally inappropriately. Although I did say literally in a post-match chat with Steve Diamond today.
Ooh.
Because I said you literally had to weather the storm. Because they got pulled.
There was a storm.
He said, we weathered the storm at Leicester. And then I said, literally weathered the storm. And I just wanted to make it clear, I wasn't doing a mess up literally. However...
He was literally doing a literally.
However, on ITV, during the England-Germany match, Ed Alexander tweeted us at Rugby Podcast to say, just before half-time, when Jack Butland, the goalkeeper, went off with a broken ankle?
Did he?
Or something like that, anyway.
He went off the pitch. Anyway.
He went off the
bad
pitch.
Bad ankle.
The ITV person on commentary said Jack Butland is literally heartbroken.
Oh, well, no, he's ankle broken.
Exactly.
He absolutely is ankle broken. No, James O'Connor a few weeks ago was literally heartbroken.
Yes.
He
had his malfunction on the team bus.
He was. Also, another great tweet, actually, before we get back. I know Phil's got a really good thing to bring to the table in a second, but Tom Kirby said at Rugby Podcast, he was watching the Quins... defeat to Northampton, who are looking really good in recent weeks.
Yeah.
And he said, "Does Ben Botticker appears to have the shortest legs to longest body combination in the Aviva Premiership. Hashtag out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. Maybe it's something to do with Harlequins, because Danny Kerr and Dave Ward have ridiculously short arms.
Well, you've also pointed out another player with a long body but shorter legs. You personally have pointed this guy out. Can you remember?
No.
Gaskell.
Gaskell's
got a massively long back.
Yeah, and of course, your brother's called Shinzy for his extraordinarily long shins.
Yeah. So Gaskell to Quinns is what we're saying there. That's the takeaway from that.
Pretty much.
Misfit 15.
So, Phil, something that got left off of last week's podcast.
Yes.
But we completely forgot to mention it, so we should mention it now for sure.
Was the announcement last week that David Pocock has negotiated a sabbatical with the Brumbies and with the ARU.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2017, he will not be playing Super Rugby because he's travelling to Europe. I don't think it's been announced where he's going to study, but he's going to He's going to study somewhere in Europe, most likely England.
Can we have a giggle at what he might be studying? Like sustainable beach science or something like that.
I think he's currently doing, it's like
whale massage.
Every course, every university near a rugby club is frantically trying to set up a whale conservation course or something.
Whale massage, baby whale massage.
He's currently doing something along the lines of agricultural and ecological awareness science.
I don't even know.
That
is it science or is it awareness?
It's one or the other. That's not the exact title. That's me paraphrasing.
Oh, right. Okay.
I would speculate that Gloucester and Exeter would be good clubs, like good like rural farming areas.
Oh, no, Tim, you're
but I don't
so
think
wrong.
He'll go to either
traditional
of those.
Farming methods, livestock pumped full of antibiotics.
Yeah.
Industrial farming? No, thank you. I think he'd rather go to... where would he rather go to?
If you were David Pocock, where would you go? If you were here for one season.
Too long.
He's coming to England, though, right?
He wants to study in England, yes.
Yeah, so he's going to play in England. So if you were going to play for one Aviva Premiership club, if you were David Pocock, who would you want to go and play for?
This would be me. I know you don't all have different ideas. I'd go to Bath.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd love that city so much.
Yeah, Bath's a good city to live in.
Good university.
Tim, where would you go?
I think if I were David Pocock, I would go to Wasps.
Wasps would be a good show.
I'm hearing George Smith might be going back to Japan. He's not really got the kind of work rate he used to have.
But he's so good.
He's still very, very good.
I mean, I'd keep him around on the same money just to have, you know, every other game.
Yeah. Or even if you get 60 minutes a week out of it.
Or just, you know, in the knockout stages of the Heineken Cup.
Yeah. But then if you could upgrade from George Smith to Pocock...
It might not, in some respects, it might not be an upgrade. I mean, overall it will be. But, you know, his game awareness, George Smith's game awareness, his experience, you can...
He's
irreplaceable.
Pretty much unbeatable. For players who are playing at the moment... I don't think anyone's got the same experience as him.
Yeah, it's not only that; it's not just how long he's played, but where he's played.
Yeah,
you know, he's quite incredible. I'd keep him around just to coach or something.
And the other one is, I think traditional. I can imagine David Pocock going for the full rugby experience. I think he'd want to play in front of a full big crowd. So I would
Sale
Welford
he's
Road.
Going to Sale
Welford Road.
Right. I think Welford Road might be not a bad shout.
Where would you go personally, though, is the question.
They've got a need
probably
in
Saracens.
The back row.
Saracens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Statistically, the right answer.
Yes, obviously. Best team.
Leicester have got a big need in the back row, I think.
I don't think they have, actually. I think they...
Well, they've got a lot of people who are kind of... they get a lot of work out of them, but there's very few ultra-talented people.
Especially at seven.
Yeah, well, to be fair, the analysis they did on O'Connor, is it... Hang on, I want to say Johnny O'Connor, That's the very, very old Irish flanker. What's his name? Is it Brendan O'Connor?
Brendan O'Connor.
They were amazed by his turnover rate, his work rate in the Super Rugby, which is why they bought him over ahead of some other very big names.
I think they've got a lot of solid.
I think they're happy with
them, if not spectacular. Like McCaffrey, I think is a good solid player.
Yeah,
Mike Williams is a good solid player. Brendan O'Connor's a good solid player. Lawrence Pierce is going to Sale, good solid player. Jordan Crane, good solid player. There's no star quality in that back row.
He's very solid.
He's a bit more solid these days than he was a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But he's a big old boy.
Tom Croft is not quite the player he was, say, 3-4 years ago.
It'd be hell of a signing. If they get him, it'll be hell of a signing.
Oh, it would be.
If you see David Pocock milling around any town centre in the UK, let us know, please, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We need to know about it. He won't be in a town centre. He'll be in a... Unless it's in a city In a city park or something.
If you see David Pocock building a treehouse in your local wooded area, let us know. Stroking squirrels.
Or fixing some solar panels onto a roof of a rugby club somewhere.
Or supping an organic fair trade, conflict-free coffee.
Conflict-free coffee. Delicious.
I don't want anyone to think I'm personally mocking David Pocock.
I personally am not because
I think that we need more characters, and he's a one-off, and he's a brilliant character. So
I'll give him this. He's true to himself.
Yeah,
and that's not it.
And that's got to be respected.
And he's a hell of a rugby player, and that's all I really care about.
An unbelievable
truth be told.
Everything else is irrelevant because he's one of the best rugby players in the world.
Yeah, I'd give him some trees if he played for my club. That's what I did.
Before we get on to the looking ahead to this weekend's matchups, a couple more tweets. This one, I forgot to mention this one earlier in relation to Miles Benjamin, and it comes from Antonio Argenio, who says, "It's a tough time for us all. Samaritans are getting more calls than when One Direction split."
It is really tough times.
So stay strong, everyone.
And I text Jay saying, Jay, suicide watch again. Can you make sure you've not got any shoelaces or belts near you? He texts back saying, tasseled loafers don't have shoelaces.
It's true, though.
Phil, health and safety reasons.
Phil WhatsApped me to say, good job, JV wears Chelsea boots generally. Yeah.
Well, it is one of those things, isn't it? You know, when, like,
laces.
Do you know when you get like certain things arise in popular culture, like trousers underneath buttocks because you're not allowed to wear belts? I do wonder why tasseled loafer hasn't quite made it into prison culture yet, or rap culture. But it's still.
There's time.
There's time.
Another one. Will Parslow sent us a little video of a dust-up in the Royal Navy versus French Marines match. It was like the old Willie John McBride 99 call, one in, all in.
It's brilliant.
It was fantastic.
See, I have no problem with this. I know some people somewhere might be, you know, shedding a few crocodile tears. But the fact is, these men are employed to kill other men when worst comes to worst. They had a bit of a scuffle. And you know what? I loved it.
Well, even in a rugby terms, there was one point in the London Irish v Worcester match, right in front of me, in fact, because Francois Huhag, smashed over the monitor that I was just watching all the replays on in the front row. And Blair Cowan pushed him. That was it. He pushed Francois Huhar.
Good.
It was a penalty. And I quite liked that the commentary team were going, oh, come on, get on with it. And even the Worcester players around were going, come on, get on with it.
Do you think it was a bit of a deliberate tactic from London Irish to kind of rough up Huhar a little bit? Because Rob McCusker did it as well. He tackled Huhar, and then as he was getting up, he kind of like... It was like a threat of he went, kind of shook his fist in his face.
Why I order?
That kind of thing.
It possibly is. I think
you can't intimidate anyone in rugby now, can you?
No, I think in this particular occasion, it was that Francois Huhar pushed a London Irish player, so Blair Cowan was sticking up for his mate, came in, pushed Huhar back. And
it's pretty hard
fair
to
play,
intimidate.
Get on with it.
It's pretty hard to intimidate a South African scrum half. He's been intimidated as much as anyone has ever, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, the ref just let the Navy and the British Navy and the French Marines just get on with it.
What else were they going
to
do?
And then get back to playing rugby afterwards.
Yeah, I know. Have you seen it? It's like all the full benches are empty. It's like 46 guys.
Like the good old days.
Swinging for each other. What are the ref and his two mates going to do?
What have we got in the Pro 12 next week, Philip?
Well, next week. Very
briefly, let's mention Super Rugby as well.
Oh, I was just going to say the
Super Rugby boys.
Before that, the Bath Gloucester game.
Oh, yeah.
So Bath, much to my surprise, Bath recorded a win away at Gloucester.
Back-to-back wins.
Yes.
Looks like it'll be Gloucester's year next year.
Well, I mean, Gloucester have lost two on the bounce now. I'm kind of thinking we might have to postpone Gloucester's year for another year.
Yeah, next year, I think. A few changes. Yeah. Two or three good quality signings.
17-18, maybe.
I think so.
We'll see. But the interesting story for that match, I'm not seeing a huge amount of it, but George Ford missed 4 out of 5 kicks, and they still managed to win.
The rugby gods are certainly messing around, aren't they, with Danny Cipriani and George Ford.
Do you reckon, like, again, we won't go on about this too much because we'll wait and see what's going to happen, but if Mike Ford goes, I wonder if, like, George Ford is Mike Ford's insurance policy.
100%.
Because, like, I don't know, he followed him pretty sharpish from Leicester to Bath.
Yeah.
I wonder if they come as a package.
Well, it's a weird one for Bath because they're top heavy in the fly half department. They've got a guy who they should never have signed and surely must leave in Rhys Priestland. He can't stay there.
That'd be a good signing for Sale.
Would it?
I think so.
I think it would be. I think it would be.
I'm not sure.
Although, if he still wants to play international rugby and he will, then don't bother.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the Harlequins have found out. And if you were the new Harlequins director of rugby and you were looking at more recruitment, after, of course, Conor O'Shea finally came out as a worst kept secret, I still thought he might have gone for Munster, but he's gone for Italy.
That's a much better job, Munster.
But anyway, if I was the Harlequins director of rugby coming in, the one thing I would say is we are not signing any internationals because it's just completely screwed them up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So he's got to go, I'd assume, because they've got Bowden Barrett. What's the other guy called?
Dan Bowden.
They wish
they had Bowden Barrett.
Yeah.
God, did you see his try at the weekend?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Gas.
Yeah.
And of course, they've got Ford, and if his dad goes, one of those has got to go, and they've all been very highly paid to stay there.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly, Rhys Priestland's one of the highest paid players in all of the Premiership.
Bloody hell, to sit on your bench.
They knew he wasn't going to start. What is the idea?
They've got this young Hastings lad as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
At 10. And they let Tom Heathcote go to Worcester.
And Ollie Devoto's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, God.
So I think something will happen there, but I have no idea what.
Yeah.
I did watch some of the Super Rugby, back to Bowden Barrett.
Yeah.
And the only game I watched, and I'm glad I did, was the Chiefs.
Chiefs. They've got a few handy players, haven't they?
My word, they play different level rugby. They really do play. And I suppose that's exactly what I expected to happen at London Irish. Tom Coventry came from that system. It hasn't quite panned out.
Yeah.
But just everything they touch just seems... It's just awesome.
Yeah.
It's just absolute. The way they keep the ball alive better than any other team I think I've ever seen.
Four tries for Ungatai.
Natai.
Sorry.
They've got
ignorance here.
The most sinister looking fullback. Have you seen him?
Oh, he looks like a...
He looks like Joker or something.
He looks like... Do you remember when there was the Bastian Schweinsteiger Nazi doll?
Yes.
He looks exactly like...
Do I?
He looks exactly like that. Blonde hair, slightly sinister smile to him at all times.
That second half was ridiculous. 41-0 second half against Western Force.
Yeah, Western Force were playing relatively okay. But I think it's just the speed of ball that they generate. They're always keeping it alive. They always get over the gain line. Their fundamentals are brilliant, and it results in this just magnificent rugby.
Our boys lost Jaguares.
Oh, sorry, Tim. Just to interrupt. Do you know who came on for the Chiefs? The replacement fly half.
No.
Do you know?
I do. He wasn't, surprisingly, he wasn't whitebait fishing.
No, he wasn't. Stephen Donald made
his return.
Get out
of town.
Yeah. Nice to see him.
Wow.
Yeah.
He looks in good shape as well.
He does look in good, because he did have the propensity to carry a bit of weight, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked absolutely great, actually. He was involved in one of the final tries. Very, very impressive.
Lost Jaguares. They had only managed one try.
That's a real disappointment for them.
Big disappointment.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I kind of sort of alluded to it that I don't think they do their basics well. They're good at a couple of things and everything else is just abysmal. And it'll come back to haunt them. But on the other hand, they will win some... Here's my prediction for Jags. They are going to annihilate teams that are worse than them, and they're going to lose against teams that are significantly better than them. They're not going to be able to... I don't think they're going to be able to punch above their weight.
The teams that are the same as them,
they will narrowly
lose to. Like the last couple of weeks when they've been playing kind of some of the average, like Stormers... I think Sharks the previous week. They've narrowly lost. But yeah, if they play teams that are significantly worse, like the Kings, possibly the Sunwolves, you could, especially if they play them in Argentina, you could expect some big scores.
I think the other thing is, if you're playing this offloading game and you're losing, offloading is all about confidence, I think. And what do you do when you've got no confidence? I mean, everything turns into 50-50. And
don't worry about those boys. Don't worry about those...
Yeah, it's not confidence.
South American playboys. Don't worry about their confidence, Jay.
It's all going to fall apart horribly. I can just say it. It's going to be like a scene from El Dorado or something.
The only other game I watched was the Rebels-Highlanders game, which was not great at all. After 60 minutes, Highlanders had scored either two or three tries, and they hadn't beaten a single defender. There was an intercept and then two kick-throughs that they managed to latch onto. So it wasn't especially pretty. But Highlanders won fairly comfortably against the Rebels.
Shall we do our predictions for next week?
Yeah, I'll just mention one final result, and that was in the Championship in Bristol. A grandstand finale to...
against
Doncaster 31
right, yeah.
to 20, 31 to 29 they won. Never say die attitude is what they've been what they've put their victory down to. So yeah, they're comfortably like 13 points clear in the table. So
looking... they lose in the final again, they'll be up for all.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, let's look ahead to the weekend's games.
Give me some Pro 12 first.
Pro 12 Friday night, 7:05, Dragons host Ospreys.
Ooh,
battle of the bottom five.
Who knows?
That's bottom four.
The bottom two Welsh teams. No, no, Blues are below them. Aren't they?
I'm going to say
no. It is the bottom two.
Yeah,
Welsh
bottom
teams.
Two Welsh teams.
Right, Ospreys.
Ospreys for me.
Ospreys for me.
Then Edinburgh host Zebra.
Oh, the dreadful Zebra. Edinburgh will win, obviously.
Edinburgh to beat the passive horses.
Edinburgh home. And then
what are the ones that can't reproduce? That's like Z-donks, isn't it?
Zebra and a donkey. You're thinking of
donkeys. Donkeys
and asses.
Donkeys and asses can't they have can't kids, reproduce. Can they? Can't.
Yeah.
Hang on, you're completely wrong. A donkey's can.
You sure about that?
Yeah, or maybe asses
can. What's when you breed a donkey with a horse? I don't know. I don't know.
An ass can't.
Look, tune into our midweek veterinary podcast.
Last time we didn't know who the... Last time we were wondering whether Florin Radichoyu was the former dictator of...
West Ham.
Of where? Romania.
Romania.
And obviously that was Nicolae Ceaușescu, as someone pointed out on Twitter. Someone will
also... We got some very funny tweets about that. Well done, guys.
At Rugby Podcast, someone will point out what the whole thing is about, which horse-based animals can't have babies. Yeah. So thanks very much.
Yeah.
At Rugby Podcast. And listen next week for the answer.
The other game on Friday night in the Pro 12 is one I suggest you do watch.
This is a big one, this.
Ulster Connacht. Ulster at home. Ulster have to win to get top
Hope
four.
Smash
to have even a chance of getting top four, we have to win.
You're not winning that. It's over.
Have to win. We played some really good stuff against Glasgow. Just couldn't finish it off again. Gilroy made a couple of very good breaks and couldn't finish it off.
Oh, well. You'll get over it.
I'm really excited about that game. I think that's one of the games of the weekend in all leagues.
Is that everything in the Pro 12 covered off yet?
On Friday night.
That's Friday night. And then also on Friday night, we've got in the Aviva Premiership, Bath host Saracens.
Oh, Saracens will smash them.
Yeah, Bath will come back down to earth.
Yes, I would expect so. Saturday, in the Pro 12, we've got Scarlets hosting Cardiff.
I don't know.
Scarlets.
Okay, Scarlets.
Treviso hosts Glasgow.
Glasgow.
Glasgow. And Leinster hosts Munster.
Ooh. It feels like all the derbies have been replayed, is it?
It is. So the Scottish teams are playing the Italian teams, and then...
Just one of those quirks where they've got all the players back, so this is going to be the derby week?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Good for business.
Week.
It is good for business, but it just shows like how unserious the rest of the league is, really.
Well...
We'll have some serious games over Christmas and just have Six Nations. After that, just do what you want.
Just after Rita, have a few more serious games.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're doing the best with the situation they've got. As Phil's pointed out...
They made their own situation.
Their squads will get deeper... because they have to, but they're adjusting
to
now having to qualify.
Which you need to cover for
no.
Okay.
Well, I think we should be a bit more respectful.
There would be one coming up, but none of the Pro 12 sides made it through to the knockout stages of the European Champions Cup.
Exactly. No, they didn't, did they? Yes, weird.
They didn't. Saturday.
Saturday for the Aviva Premiership, Exeter host Worcester.
Exeter will be... Exeter. Well, I mean, every team, except for Worcester probably... and Gloucester have got everything to play for.
Yeah.
Well, Exeter still do. They've still got to secure...
Well, exactly. They've got to get top four first and then try and get a home semi-final.
Yeah, top two, definitely.
So they'll be going all out to win, and I fully expect them to win at Sandy Park.
Yes. Yeah, so in Worcester, that's the first time they've won four on the bounce in the Premiership. Four consecutive games.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No mean feat.
Yeah, and they've won five out of the last six in the Premiership since Houhard joined them. Halfback honeymoon period.
The speed of his ball is so good.
Yeah, he does look good, doesn't he?
Quinn's Newcastle.
Quinn's at home.
Home win.
Definitely. It's interesting, Newcastle. So, Newcastle not getting a bonus point against Wasps this week means that an Irish obviously did get a bonus point. Means that they're only...
4 points.
4 points, yeah. Irish are on 18 points. Newcastle are on 22. So...
And Irish...
Host
Sale Sharks, who... are dreadful away from home.
Superb at home.
Incredible at home.
Yes.
Dreadful away from home.
Yes, and Sippers probably won't like a 5-hour coach journey down to Reading, so he won't be performing.
Like the night out
well.
In London afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Or he might go down,
meet them there.
Go down the day before, night out in London.
That's more like it.
Yeah. I think Irish could win this.
I don't think they will. I think this is one that. I think this is why bad teams are bad teams. I think this is one they should win, and they absolutely will not win it.
I hope for the league that Irish win it.
Okay.
To make it a lot more interesting.
Well, it'll make that game against Newcastle in a few weeks' time. Oh, my word. How spicy
even
would that
important.
Be if they're.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for. Oh, you see, Sale have got a really bad record at Medeski as well. I'm going to go for Irish just to pip it. Just somehow to get a win. If they could just sort out their decision making in top 2 inches, I think they can do it. And then what else we got?
Final game on the Saturday in the Aviva Premiership. Leicester Tiger host Gloucester Rugby, which I think will be a Leicester, win.
That'll be a Leicester win.
Yeah, it's not their year, is it? Leicester for me as well.
Yeah, it's not definitely not their
year.
Have
you got Cornerstone on your computer there?
I do have Cornerstone on my computer there.
Excellent. Is that everyone?
Not yet.
Sunday. You've got North Wasps host Northampton. In what I think is the other tasty game of the weekend.
I think that will be Wasps a tasty game. I'm going to smash Northampton.
Northampton are playing very well.
They are playing very well, but I tell you what, that the firepower. And like once Wasps score one or two past you and you've got to play differently and remove yourself from your game plan, that's when they really open up.
Yeah.
So if they can keep Wasps under control, they might have a chance. But if Wasps score early, this is going to be over.
I think Wasps will win at home, but not by a lot.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think Wasps at home. East Midlands derby.
So we're going for all... Well, no, we're not going for all home. Yeah, well, on balance, we're going for all home wins in the Premiership.
Although, pretty much.
That Sale away. Oh, I don't know.
No, I'm going for Sale away.
It's tough to call.
Just one thing to note. On the Sunday, in the top 14, you've got Toulon-Clermont. Toulon host Clermont, which will be a very intriguing game.
Yeah, well, how did the Racing Toulon game finish?
2021 to Toulon in Paris.
Wow.
Which is
ahead of their.
It's an exact copy of their quarter final, their European Champions Cup.
I think there's going to be a film
final.
Made about this right, this rivalry one day.
Oh, it's incredible!
And it's not necessarily about the players either. It's about the owners.
It's all about the owners.
It's brilliant! I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
and just the rivalry. I absolutely love this.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. When is the European Champions Cup back?
A week after this,
is it?
One more week of domestic, and then it's Europe.
Wow. Oh, great. So no more Pro 12 chat for a few weeks.
After next week. So, yeah.
Stop it.
The
you're going to... Like, I just want to extend a warm welcome to our listeners in Ireland and Scotland and Wales, because we have quite a lot of them.
And Italy.
JB. And Italy. we have quite a lot of them. And Italy, quite right.
How disrespectful, Tim. How very disrespectful when you're doing a monologue on respectability that you actually miss out a whole nation, a whole Tier 1 rugby nation.
Yeah, Saturday the 9th, European Champions Cup is back.
Yeah.
Which will be very, very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Right. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, react to anything, or just if you want to continue the JB baiting, me and Phil have been enjoying that, just watching that unfold. So come on, Pro 12 fans, give JB some stick. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, listen on Acast, listen on iTunes, and good work, gents.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
And we'll be back next time in a bit.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Sweet.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves
without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.